welcome to Nerdy For, the podcast where I, Amy Brown, ask interesting people what they're nerdy for. Dale's already laughing, and I'm not even halfway through the beginning of my intro. This is why I do this intro every time. You're so giggly. I have in my costume chamber my bestie, Dale Ioannidis. She is a teacher. She's also started a nonprofit that is doing incredible work in Atlanta for folks, and I'm going to have her talk all about it, but I also want people to get to know you before we talk about that. How long have you been a teacher for?
Well, gosh, teaching.
Can you hold on? Can you hear her okay?
I was going to boost her a little bit. Okay. You can get a little closer to the mic.
Sure. Yeah. I always say it's right around 25 years, but some of those years I wasn't teaching.
25 years?
Yeah.
And you lived to tell the tale.
I did. How? I do. I am. I'm alive.
How sick were you for the first 20?
Hardly ever.
Oh, really?
Because it builds your immune system.
Like, so it was like the first year you're just sick the whole
yeah.
time?
Well, probably. I don't remember, honestly, that. But like I do remember when everyone else around me is always sick. Even with COVID, never.
Never. Did you never get COVID?
Nope. Still haven't.
Look at you. Well, you have like, so you have.
Strong like bull.
My husband's never gotten COVID and he's very thin and athletic to build. And I'm wondering if like you're just athletic enough, your body's shoot to kill when it comes to viruses and fat cells.
No, it's kids.
I'm pretty
man.
Lazy. I never got COVID.
They're just slinging right. their germs everywhere, like the finger in the nose, the finger in the ear, the hands down
the pants.
And then they hug you.
And this is just
and,
the
like,
teenagers.
They'll sneeze on you. And it's, you know, it's a lot like having your own children, but there's 24 of them.
24 kids. So do they, okay, I was playing tennis the other day and I didn't have a tissue and I had to wipe my nose on my sleeve. And yeah. I was like, what's happened to me? This was last week. Like, I'm 47 and I wiped my nose on my sleeve and I flash back to all of my youth and I was like, yeah, that used to be my mm-hmm. tissue for like 13 years.
Yep, happens well, to the best of us.
Dude. You know,
a lot of teachers wear aprons.
You got to talk louder. You're talking quiet for some reason. This is the most quiet I've ever heard
I
you
know,
talk.
Yes, I am normally loud. That's okay. A lot of teachers wear aprons.
Is it for the snot?
And
is it snot apron?
For a lot of different reasons, right? So first of all, for the apron reasons, like if your hands are nasty, you can just wipe them off mm-hmm. on the apron, right?
Yeah.
But you can hold things if you have the pocket aprons, right?
Yeah,
and
tissues.
And there's, Band-Aids, chalk, all kinds of crap in there, Expo marker. But then you can't keep certain things in there because kids go in it, right?
Like
they
cell
think,
phone.
Right, like they're trying to hug you, but then they're all in your on your apron. I did not wear an apron. But that's what I'm imagining.
What ages did you like teach? Was it like mixture throughout the years, or was there like a primary age group that you taught?
So definitely the littles were my favorite, and where mm-hmm. I
What's
did
a little?
Most of my work, like kindergarten.
Like, did you ever do pre-primary?
I did. I
those
taught.
Are really little. They nap half the day.
that's why I was their favorite.
Except for the ones that don't. And then you have to deal with the ones that aren't napping while the other ones are napping and they're in the
quiet
same room.
Time.
And it's
yeah.
insane trying to keep a little 2, 3, or 4-year-old quiet.
Right. Try to keep them on the airplane.
Hour. It's like regulated by the state and everything.
They so have
like,
to have a nap.
Yes. And it has to be a certain length and all that. So
state
yeah.
regulations around Crazy. Schooling are fascinating to me. State regulations.
But I taught like kindergarten, first, second, third was kind of my realm. And then I became an instructional coach. So I was a literacy coach for a while.
Are you very good
meaning,
at, really quick, are you really good at herding cats as well?
Oh, yeah, you have to be able to. It's like when you're, you know, when your little kid was at the soccer game when they were like 4, 5, 6 soccer, right? They're yeah. just, yeah, it's, yeah, all day.
But when they're little and they're playing soccer, they will stop playing if a plane goes over because they're all more excited
yeah.
about a plane.
Worm, anything, yeah,
than they
it.
Are about the yeah. game. My son stopped during one of his soccer games to tell the coach that he felt a drop on his cheek, a raindrop on my cheek, Carol. It was so cute.
I mean, forget it if a fire truck goes by.
Oh, a
right?
fire like, truck. fire truck goes by. Game over.
forget it.
They're so cute, though.
Yeah. But then I got to teach teachers for a while. So as an instructional coach, that meant I was sort of like an expert in that area. So it was literacy. So I'm essentially teaching teachers how to teach reading. And also working with kids. And then there's like administrative duties and all that. But while I was doing that for some of the time, I also had to teach fifth grade. it was horrible.
Oh no. Okay, what? Remind me what's happening in fifth grade. So are we having mustaches yet?
They're starting. I had a yes. And most of them are my size or taller. And you're trying.
Are you right at armpit height to smell all those stinky armpits coming in?
And it's so funny. So this is like, all right.
I just remember I got an email from our teacher one time and to the entire class. Everyone needs to shower more.
For fifth grade. Yep. You do have to have that talk. The nurse comes and does all that. So, yeah.
This was to the parents.
Yeah.
Shower your kids before you bring them to school, please.
And start using some deodorant. Yeah. A little bit. Especially in the summer. Like, okay, so when springtime comes of that year and you're now out on the playground and you're in Atlanta and it is HOT.
Yeah.
And you come back into the classroom.
Oh, it must smell like a locker room.
But it's like disgusting.
a prepubescent locker room, like something even stronger.
Ah, it was horrible. But it's funny. So this sort of bleeds in a little bit with my nonprofit. So I'm really my work now.
It's just giving kids like soap and stuff.
I know. Right now, yeah. I wish that. Well, it could. As a matter of fact, it is, and that's where it's like not so funny. But yes, it is.
Oh wow.
So I moved from one side of the county to the other in this one school district
in Atlanta,
and I noticed a very large difference between Title I schools on both sides of town. But
what's a Title I school?
A Title I school is one where a minimum of 40% of the families are receiving free or reduced lunches. And so on the north side of town, at the Title I school where I served, we're probably right around that 40%. As a matter of fact, I'm not even sure if they're Title I anymore. Like they kind of are right on that threshold, and some years they are and some years they aren't. But essentially a Title I school at the bare minimum. But then I moved to the other side of town and was also at a Title I school. Well, now we're at like a 98% free and reduced lunch. So the capacity of those families is way lower.
The resources are less.
Correct. Which means who loses out? Teachers, right? So they don't get any sort of reimbursement. Well, of course, yes. Yeah. So it's just a situation where the students are already behind and the teachers have fewer resources to work with to try to catch them up. So that to me was like, oop, red flag, there's something's going on here. And the more I talked to people, the more we realized that this is absolutely not just happening right where we are in Atlanta, but in
across
places
the country.
All across the country. And so I'm trying to set up we are a nonprofit, and our goal is to provide teacher grants for teachers at those Title I schools, but we're really looking at the Title I schools that don't have a PTA or a foundation. That's sort of like difference.
A PTA, Joel, do you know what a PTA is?
Yeah, the Parent Teacher Association.
So they kind of
the thing my mom never participated in.
I mean, my mom was busy too, but
my mom was not busy. She just wasn't a good mother. So
the PTA kind of steps in where the school can't or doesn't have the resources to. And helps. And if your school doesn't have a PTA and or funding for one, or the people who have the free time to do it, there's a lot of things you're lacking. And I didn't realize this, that a teacher is responsible for setting up their classroom with their own money and buying all the supplies. And if they want to have a library of books in their classroom for the children to read, they have to get that themselves if they're not donated. It's shocking. Wait a minute. It's crazy. Is there like a really big difference between poverty and not in the United States? That's what? Yep. It's crazy. But you're on the front lines.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes,
my friend Dale is on the front lines here. She's found the people who need resources and supplies to make their classrooms better. And a lot of these are newer teachers graduating from college. Student loans, they don't get paid their first paycheck for how long is it?
So we're paid in arrears just like most professions.
What's arrears?
Arrears is
when, it sounds silly.
Arrears is when a company holds on to a paycheck so that when you leave at the end, you get an extra paycheck. Like, right?
Okay.
To hold you over until your next job. Like, I think that's why it's set up that way for most companies and organizations. Like, every time I've worked outside of a school, I've had to do that too. Like, you don't get paid the first paycheck.
I've never had a real job.
You get the next one. But for teachers, it's even worse than that. So if I'm a brand new teacher and I'm coming to work in Atlanta, so it's not just in APS, but in many of the metro districts, you start working in the middle of July.
The middle of July?
Yeah.
It's still summer.
Correct. Students come August 1st. You don't get paid till August 30th.
So a month and a half before you get paid. Mm-hmm. And you're in your 20s.
And now you have student loans. And now you have student loans
and your rent and your car bill and your food bill.
I didn't realize that's why. I respect teachers and they're very important. But I don't see why anyone's a teacher with how much they
are not
supported or getting taken care of, whatever. Yeah.
That's right.
But I didn't realize that you even had to. Ooh. Shout out to all the people that choose to do it.
That's right.
So Dale gets. It's collecting resources. That means money, y'all, in fancy donation terms.
That is right.
She's getting teachers ask for submit for a loan, and they ask for what they want, and then they get you approve it with your board, and they get the loan, and then they send you pictures of what they got. And one of them, this is an interesting story. Tell about the. The pencil sharpener.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Okay, so, this is just like how crazy it gets with children.
So there was a classroom, and this was a teacher who worked at a school where I worked at. So I know exactly the classroom she walked into. And as a matter of fact, this was not a situation where she didn't have materials. It's that she had so many materials, like the teacher prior to her had hoarded. But they were all, like, just jammed all in, like, boxes and closets. Like, it was a mess. Uh-huh. It was a complete mess. And that also happens to teachers. So, it's truly whatever the teacher prior to you leaving left the condition of the room in. Mm-hmm. So,
it's like a fraternity house.
It was pretty bad. So, she had all this junk, but it wasn't really usable. And so, brand new teacher. And she didn't have a pencil sharpener. And she had those little plastic ones, right?
But the kids are messing with it, mm-hmm. right?
So what'll happen is you don't have one for everyone, right? She doesn't have 24 of those little ones. She probably had 4 or 5. But then what would happen is the kids realized that it would get them off task and not hold them accountable for being in their seat doing their work if they could be distracted by a pencil being broken and then having to try to find a pencil sharpener, right? Like, where is it now? Oh, they're missing, right? So now everyone's
so
digging.
Distracted. I mean, the cats are running the asylum.
Yes. Yep. And then the second we gave her the $300
to buy a fancy pencil sharpener.
And she did. She got like this industrial
and it's quick,
like, teacher pencil
and
sharpener.
And they're back to work.
Yep.
Isn't that wild?
It now is like even a job in the classroom.
They can earn it with
yes.
good behavior,
so, yes.
a little carrot,
exactly
not so much
right.
stick.
And then they'll sharpen it at the end of class or something so that the next day you don't even have to sharpen during the day.
How can we apply – that's so fascinating, human behavior. How can we apply this to our husbands? Like, do you get the right tool? You can get them to focus
that's
on something?
Right. I don't know. To figure that out, laundry something. I don't know.
Maybe if I get my husband a fancy camera, he'll take pictures of me. Right now, it's only pictures of him and the children because I'm the one doing it.
All of them.
I exactly don't exist right. in her family.
That's exactly right. Well, I mean, the thing is, I'm sure any listener and maybe you both as well, like, have just heard in the media lately about, like, I know this morning in the news they're talking about there aren't enough subs. Well, clearly
substitute
there aren't.
Teachers.
Yeah, no one wants to come in anymore for sure. But, like, you know, just that teachers aren't staying in the profession and that there's a teacher shortage.
Right. I'm sure they're getting burned out.
So if you really think about this, like, you know, part of what I'm trying to do is take one of the layers off, like the reimbursement issue. Some schools do reimburse their teachers, right? But those aren't the schools we're trying to help. So but I just think about, like, normal teaching, right? Mm-hmm. And what truly teachers are expected to do. Like, let's think about – I don't know, let's think about like some crazy adults that maybe just have wild behavior, but imagine what they were like as a child. Like, think about Jim Carrey, right? Like, what
doing
the hell?
Voices.
Would it have been right? You'd be like, hello, Mrs. Carrey. Like, she's not going to be able to do it. What if she's trying to keep him the same thing at home, right? What about, like, Johnny Knoxville, right? Like, he's, like, on the top of the swing set, like, trying to get other kids to jump off the top of the swing set and do, like, create. Mrs. Knoxville, I can't get Johnny to stop. Like, she can't either, you know? I don't know. Mrs. Trump, we can't get.
Oh, my gosh.
We can't
he
get
keeps trying
Donald.
To run for office. We don't have any offices yet.
I can't get him to be accountable for. I'm kidding. But anyway.
Do you know who's the hot lady who is in Katniss? Who is that girl?
Talking about
Jennifer.
Lawrence.
Yes. I heard her nickname was Nitro because none of the ADD medication would work on her as a child.
Yes.
Can you imagine? And that's why they put her into acting to try to get her to focus on something.
But I mean, teachers are dealing with this all the time.
And like, how many
right?
students are in the classroom? This is the part where my head explodes because I can't handle the two I have living in my home, let alone a bunch of them. And then how, like, this is another thing. I'm afraid of children because if they smell fear, they know you're not in charge anymore.
Yes,
like,
that is
have
true.
You
it's
lost
like the
control
thing,
of a room? Or
in my past,
you're an alpha.
Like, for sure,
you're that. Okay, real
I'm
quick,
not going to say that.
Real quick,
never
Dale's
happened.
An alpha friend, and she's like, you're always organized and have a plan, and it's
always.
Wonderful. You're like the room mom of our lives. It's great. And like,
backup plan. I've got A, B, C, D plan.
Yeah, it's wonderful. But,
that's because I'm around children all the time.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. I bet you could, like, have you ever walked into a, like, men fighting and clapped your hands and been like, that's enough, young men?
Yes,
and
I
have.
That's great.
Please tell the story.
And my husband, like, John, gets so mad.
She weighs 110 pounds.
Like, John gets so mad at me when I don't mind my own business.
He can't back you up. Your husband cannot fight. He can't back you up if you get, like, some guy hits you. Young men. That's enough of that. Everyone circle up on the carpet. Do they have carpet? Where was it? In my nightclub? Where were you? You're like breaking up a fight.
I don't know.
In the streets. 2 a.m.
There's teachers. That's right.
I can imagine you driving like the Zamboni thing that washes the streets at, like, at 3 a.m. Like, everyone go home now. It's time to go to bed. Make good choices.
Oh, my gosh.
Take your vitamins. Yeah. Brush your teeth. Put your retainers in.
It's always the parents, though, right? Like, it's always the parents that I have more probably funny. I mean, there are definitely some kids that I've met that are just so unique and great
you
stories.
You have to have favorites, yeah.
But, like, it's usually the parents, right, that sort of are a little wackadoo.
Really?
Yeah.
That's shocking.
Yeah.
No weird parents here.
We know tons.
Were you ever? Do you think, Amy, you were ever one of the parents of the teachers? Just like, oh god.
Well,
she's coming
I think,
in again.
I think no, because I think the parents that you get tired of and the ones that are trying to micromanage the classroom. I ran away from the class. I'm like, thank you so much for taking my baby, and go do my life. Yeah, I don't know what.
Life.
I would get nervous going into this school. I get nervous going into schools. I do. It's
There's
like
a
hospitals
lot of trauma
too.
Around school.
Yeah,
people
maybe.
Do have a lot of I mean, I know it sounds
it's
weird,
like you
but
feel like you're going to get judged. Am I wearing the right shoes, even though I'm 47?
Yep. A lot of parents really, truly feel like
nervous
just from their own childhood experience, either because like they were bullied or because their teachers were assholes or because they
Dale just dropped the A word. Okay, so I have a joke about Dale. Inspired by you. Because my grandmother was a kindergarten teacher.
I laughed the first time I heard
this joke. Oh my God. So my joke is that I never heard my grandmother swear. She would say, oh, fudge, you know, and like her hand is slammed in a door. Like, I'm like, she should be ripping everyone a new one. And she's just so like, she would say sugar when like, for big stuff. And then I've heard you, Dale will say that guy's a real stinker. About a real bad person. Like, Hitler's a real stinker. And my favorite is, she'll call someone a ding dong. Sorry, it tickles my fancy every time. Cata tiempo. A ding dong. And I thought you had invented it. But then I was watching the feud with Truman Capote and the Swans. Too. And one of the ladies, like the perfect lady, I think it was the perfect lady, or maybe it was Slim. She goes, so, oh, I think Truman's acting like a real ding dong. I'm like, oh, this Dale's word. So it must be from the 50s or 60s.
I honestly have no idea.
Yeah. So that's one of my jokes is that's not the funny part. But you inspired that. But at the same time, like you say these cute words and you have all the power in a room. So it's because you're, I think, a teacher and you had to stare down like an elephant or whatever.
Multiple times.
Alpha energy. So to see you just drop that real A word. I can tell she hasn't been in the classroom for a year.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. I've been out for a year.
It's your School's In is the name of your nonprofit.
School is in. That's right. But just not for me.
School is out on this potty mouth over here now.
Are you just working on the nonprofit full time now?
That is right. That's right. It is wild. It's wild. Seriously. After being in the classroom for that long. And I would always take like a little break here and there. Like when Nicholas was born, I took a year, maybe like a year and a half off. And then I started getting really bored.
Yeah.
And I opened a school. But like that wasn't really teachings, but like things like that. I'd always do things that somehow are connected with education, but not always in the classroom, but then just always ended up back in the classroom. It is great to not be in a classroom.
Well, you would we didn't see you for a while because you're like, oh, it's 8:30. I have to go to bed now because I have to wake up so early to get to the classroom and not be in a bad mood about it.
It got progressively worse.
I don't know how the alcoholics do it.
I mean, I will say that, right?
Just like, by drinking during the day.
That's what you keep
really
in your apron.
Weird.
A little flasky woony.
Yeah, they're like, no, don't reach in my apron for
teachers, a lot, juice. I mean, right, like a lot, there's always those jokes about like the teachers that have their flask, whatever. I never did that.
But have you ever seen a teacher, like an old school teacher?
No, but when I was younger, I'm pretty convinced I had some high school teachers that
were flasking out.
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Just waiting for their time to be done with school.
That's exactly right, yeah.
It's interesting. Like, I can remember every teacher I've had. You are a celebrity if you are a teacher because people know you. People remember you.
Oh, you do. I mean, that's how John,
husband?
When we go around with dad.
Her husband and her father-in-law.
My father-in-law is 90. And there are, if
he
we
was a
go
teacher.
Out into public, people still to this day recognize him. He taught at like Roosevelt before it was, I think that was like before Grady was built.
Mm-hmm.
And then he taught one other school here in Atlanta, and then he taught at Pace. That was when he was at Pace for like ever and ever and ever.
Greek teaching math.
He's taught for,
that's
you know,
really cool.
40 years yeah. here in Atlanta and just yeah. knew everybody. It was insane.
My grandmother taught in the town over from my village. And people in the grocery store would come up to me
yep.
and say, like, she was the nicest teacher, that they yep. loved her.
Yep.
She was, yeah, it's your celebrity
it's
in your
wild.
Community.
It's pretty wild. But it's getting bad. Like, it really, y'all, it's like.
Worse. Well, how about, like, the hand-to-hand combat and having to worry about
I was having to break up so many fights, Amy. Do you remember me talking about that? Like,
no.
Well, back to that point where you were like,
is it the fifth graders?
It's 8:30. I have to be in bed. It yeah. was because I was getting up at 5:30 in the morning, out of the door by 6:30 in the morning, not getting home till 6 at night mm-hmm. on some nights. Not,
right.
you know, I didn't put in 12-hour days every day, but some days I put in 14-hour days. Like,
yeah.
how – and you have so many responsibilities. Fair enough. Like, you're in charge of children. I get that. But there are a lot of things that we are asked to do that really have nothing to do with the art of educating children.
Yeah.
And then there are a lot of things that just are roadblocks to really hitting like student success. It's just and then some places are not like that. It really truly has a lot to do with like the leadership of the building, the leadership of the district, you know, or the head of the school,
Ooh.
Or and then it has to do with the teacher, like the skills that they have. It has to do with like the engagement at the school and how other students are. Like, I don't know, there's just so much that feeds into it. Mm. And then like now there are all these political issues that come in, and
isn't that
have to worry about what book you're reading and isn't there like how much of history you actually
teach. There's a lawsuit happening in Georgia right now, some sort of about the board is getting sued by lawyers because it's too liberal or something.
Oh, that's a different one then.
No, I could be saying it completely wrong because I only listened to a second of it on the news, and I don't know what's happening a lot in the world. Or in my life.
It's shenanigans. It's just
some sort of suing of the board. You tell me what you know about the Cobb one.
Well, in that case, it was a teacher who read a book.
Oh, this is different then.
That had to do with, I believe, like gender identity. And she read it to her fifth grade class. And she got fired.
In Cobb?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
But it's just, it's so confusing right now as a teacher because it's almost like you don't know what books are going to be okay and what books are not. Like there are certainly books that are taken out of media centers, banned books on lists. But then there are some books that librarians now are just taking it out because they're expecting that down the road they may be. They're just not sure. I mean, I just remember, though, growing up, like, with the books that we read, and if my parents really knew what was in the books, they probably wouldn't have been thrilled, to be honest, but they were exactly what I needed at that time in my life. Like, I was a middle school age kid, and, you know, when you're reading Judy Blume, like, you know.
Is Judy Blume on the banned books now?
Oh, I'd be shocked if it wasn't.
Right, it's coming of age as a lady.
Or is it because she's a certain person that maybe those books aren't banned? I don't know. There's a lot of politics involved. But at any rate, maybe not, because maybe that isn't an LGBTQ issue or a race issue. Ugh. Or I don't know. There's so much. It's just that, but that's the point, is there's so much of this wrapped up. And so it depends on what state you live in. It depends on what district you live in. It depends on
probably the personality of the principal.
Right. And the culture of your family. Like,
if there's like a state senator or somebody in town who wants a showboat by attacking the school's library.
Could be.
Well, luckily, limited education only has great stories tied to it from history.
So. That's right. The this is what I've heard. The more if you have a democracy, it's very expensive because everyone has to be educated enough to vote properly. And oops-a-daisy. Mm-hmm. We're making some big ding-dong decisions with our education.
Right, and interesting how there is this almost fight against education, too.
Oh, well, Bush started that with, like, you want to just have a beer with me? And
talking about No Child Left Behind?
Oh, but that was, yeah, that was, I think his wife was really much into education. But I don't know how well that program was successful or not. Were they trying to make schools? Oh, I'm having a flashback to a paper I wrote in college about charter schools. Were they trying to make competition available for children to be able to, like, in their school district, they could go to a better school if they wanted to, and then like finding like the school that needed the most help and giving them help, or were they trying to close those schools that aren't as successful?
In historically, you mean?
No, the Bush program, No Child Left Behind.
Oh, I don't remember, honestly, because that was I should know this. It was like literally right when I was doing like undergrad and when I was starting my career.
The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation released this like 150-page long analysis of the American school system, which I printed out and fully intended to read. And I carried it around for like a year in my backpack. I really wanted to read it because education actually is one of my passions, even though I'm not very good at it. And But I just remember, like, the highlights of it were, like, the system that we were using right now was designed in the 50s.
It actually was designed in the late 1800s. In the late
1800s, and it hasn't changed since then.
That's right.
And then they put all this funding into, like, a progressive school where there's more hands-on learning, and it's just a lottery to get in, and all the kids are doing great in the school where it's a progressive program. Instead of everyone circle up on the carpet, all 32 of you, and you learn the same thing. It's and it's more engineering based, and even the kids that aren't predisposed to be good at engineering in a classic setting are successful there. Wait, what? That's crazy. Yeah. So, I don't know how to fix it, except for it does need funding. I know that.
It does.
And if it's the problem, and if it's the rich neighborhoods getting all the money for their kids to be doing better than the poor neighborhoods are never going to catch up. Those kids are never going to catch up.
Well, right, because, I mean, it depends on—
It shouldn't be based on where you live in America. The cream should rise to the top, regardless of your condition when you're born here.
Well, right.
That's the American dream.
And so here's, like— Exactly.
And by cream, I mean physicists. Only physicists. Only sexy physicists.
You're
boys
partial,
and girls,
so
and they,
you know, you're partial.
I'm just teasing. Like those people who can read and do math, and then they can help the rest of us live in their house.
That's so funny.
I'm very much taken care of, and I'm dyslexic, so I feel like my armpits are sweating right now talking about school in general.
Well, like, okay, so if you look at Atlanta Public School, for example, right, at that district, it's a huge district. It's the largest one. I think Gwinnett's like the second in metro Atlanta. And they are a large district, and so what that means in terms of taxes, I believe, my understanding is that it all goes into a district bucket. So, like, up north where I came up, each town
north
had their
of
own.
North of America. Like,
north, like, New England.
New England.
So, each town had their own school district. So, the town I grew up in had a whole separate school system from the very next town over, not like here in Atlanta.
Okay.
It's a whole bunch of towns. It's just the county is the district, right?
Okay.
So taxes should, in that situation, go into a huge bucket, meaning if you're in the North Atlanta cluster, your school, based on all the little algorithms, because they have like this crazy algorithm that you have to follow based on like how many kids you get and what kinds of kids and all that. So once it's all evened out, every school should be getting the same amount for the amount of kids that they have at that school, right? But the difference, again, goes back to that PTA. So if, like, the school where I was working, they had a foundation as well. And
in the wealthier neighborhood.
And so there's a gala.
There's a foundation. There's fundraising.
There's also
people donating money.
So also probably more parents that can donate the time because some
correct.
Of them, like
you know. Yes. They have free time.
And they have.
And health care. And all the other cool
stuff. It's like all this stuff is all tied together. It's weird.
It's weird. And
probably
they
not,
have
though.
To spend everything. Like, I now know this is a nonprofit. You have to spend everything to show that it's used.
Well,
so that
you're getting
need
grant
it,
money. If you're getting grant
and
money,
then
you do.
Right.
But if it's just private donation from
but
your.
But they do get grant money.
Constituents.
So their budget every year is about $400,000.
Wow. So $400,000.
So that school.
That the other schools don't have.
Don't have.
And they spend it every year. And they spend it every year.
Correct.
That sounds like a lot of supplies.
Correct.
And training for teachers and help maybe with like crossing
guards. The only thing it can't pay
and,
for is people. Right. So it can't pay for like a salary.
Can it pay for training? Like for a specialist to come in and talk about how to make the kids not fight so much?
They just have to pay it through. It's weird. They have to pay it through gift cards. So like.
Through gift cards?
Yeah. Like, like you can pay the trainer, but for me to go to the training, because they can't pay my salary, but they can pay me to go to the training, they'll give you, like, a gift card.
To where?
Wherever I want. It's like a Visa. They'll pay you, like, through a gift card because they can't pay a salary. So,
it's only like some sort of kickback rule or something.
But it's crazy because they would essentially ask teachers to dream big. right? Like, we want you to spend this money. Ooh,
scanning what electron kind, microscope.
What kind of 3D a project printer can you come up with?
I grew up in upstate New York. We had an indoor pool in my school. There was like 69 people in my graduating class. Smaller than the private schools here with nothing like that. Like, there's so much more money for education depending on what state you live in.
Very true. That's true.
Yeah. Okay.
That's true.
Sorry, I interrupted you.
You didn't.
So, okay, do you want to talk more about school or do you want to talk about, I want to talk a little bit about, so Dale was adopted.
I was.
And she is married to a Greek man, but he like was born in Atlanta. His papu, that dad as we call him, who is the teacher of math, has a Greek accent and does the Greek dancing and is a ladies man. And so Dale was adopted and she didn't know her heritage. And then she got to 23andMe and it came back like, how you're actually, what are you? Speaking to the microphone.
Well, okay. So I'm not at all what I thought I was, but that's not true. A little bit. So I did Ancestry and I was told that I was half like English on my mother's side and on the other half Italian, like that my father's side was all Italian. And then when you get the results back from Ancestry, it was like, there's not one bit of Italy or or Spain even, like nothing.
You're bearing the lead. What was it?
So,
was it like a lot Greek?
No, nothing. Hardly. But it was.
You said it was like mostly Greek and now Nikki can be pretty Greek.
No, I didn't.
Do I drink too much, Joel?
I wouldn't. I mean, it depends on the day.
I am generally those like eyebrows Scandinavian. Are Greek. No, I'm those like Norwegian. Are Greek. Like, that's what was so surprising. Oh. I'm Viking.
Well, sorry.
That's right, because remember the hand. That's where it comes from. Yeah. Like the decorpus.
There's a thing where your hand's just turned into a permanent claw, and it's genetic if you're a Viking. And I think it's retribution for all of the pillaging your people did.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Hey, other white people did a lot of pillaging too.
I know, I'm teasing.
It's not just the Vikings.
Well, I got eczema.
Yeah.
But there, I am like 5% Greek. So
you're
that
5%
was funny
Greek.
Because that's where we said was like, oh, so Nicholas is more than half Greek then.
Yes. So Nikki can be like a Greek citizen if he wants to.
He can regardless.
How much does he like avoiding taxes and eating olives?
I think he likes, we'll find out.
You
have to ask him.
He does like
olives.
Can you get a citizenship? Do the Greek people come after you for taxes?
I don't know that answer. I think you have to like be, I don't know. I'd have to ask John, honestly.
I mean, do you know what taxes are?
I know a lot about taxes. Just not water heaters. My water heater is broken right now and is all I can think about. That story bombed, but that's okay about you not actually. I thought your eyebrows. I remember talking about your eyebrows because you get them coifed, right? You get them like cut and.
Sometimes.
And done. And you said to me, yeah, toes and eyebrows. And I was like, your toes are hairy? And you're like, no, I get my toes painted. I thought you were talking about getting the hair taken off your toes because she's got very distinct eyebrows.
As I'm listening to you tell this story, I was like, why did I tell her that my toes had to get...
I don't have to pluck my toe.
What?
Every time I shower, toes and tits, I got to shave the big toe and then shave the tits.
Amy's just assuming that everyone else has her lived experience.
Yeah.
I don't remember her telling her that. Yeah. Sure enough, I didn't. Okay, good.
I just heard you wrong.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, God. So your child went to college recently.
Oh, he did.
Yeah, we were talking about this the other night. He did. You said it was a surprise ache.
Yeah.
A surprise ache.
It was.
I thought you were going to say a surprise that he went to college. Like, I thought he was so dumb. He wasn't going to get in.
Yeah, the teacher.
Listen, no. I knew some kids that had teachers for parents, and they weren't, you know, some of them, it's like the rebellion, you know, like if your dad's a preacher, a lot of times you'll go against it, you know. My parents were bad people, so now I try to be nice to people. You know, that's the...
Yep.
Did you like openly see your parents acting a fool, like being mean to people or just talking trash about them behind their backs?
Oh, both. Oh. Yeah. But I mean, they're just bad people. So
that sounds like a fun book to read.
What?
Like,
that's just sad. It's a lot of trauma.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oops.
But that's also why my mom did at one point tell me, this was when I was still talking to her. I forgot what we were talking about, but she said, well, if I wasn't as bad of a parent to you, you wouldn't be as funny as you are today.
Oh, she was trying to get in.
And I was just like, yeah. I would honestly sacrifice being able to riff and make up good stories if I could just trust somebody. I would trade that in immediately.
Oh, baby. I know. Don't you want to give him a hug? Let's get our aprons on and give Joel a hug.
Whenever you were talking about like all the misbehaving kids, I was like, oh, that was me. A lot of teachers did not like me because I was for sure. I have ADHD now, I know, but I was undiagnosed ADHD and like problems at home. So I just acted out a lot and was the class clown. And then, so I made teachers already very hard jobs even harder.
But that's what you're supposed to do. Like, not that you're just growing up. You're just trying to figure this out.
Those
you're
are
like,
the best ones. I have to be honest. Like, those are the kids I remember. Like, I remember the hard kids because those are the ones that you definitely developed the biggest relationships with. Like, just because you spend probably more time with them, right? I mean, I know that it is what it is, though. You're having way more conversations. You're really kind of getting into, like, the why are you behaving like this, child, right? Like, so I think as a teacher, you're definitely, like, the kids who are easy –
they pass through the doors.
It's horrible to say, but that's the truth of it.
They're also usually funny. I feel like the spazzy ones.
Yep. Yes, they are. And they get your humor you can make like a little joke and they'll
a lot of toot humor.
They'll get it.
Pull my finger. There's a boys' school I heard about that has desks. And then standing desks, because the boys are antsy-pantsy, and there's girls who are antsy-pantsy, too, so you can decide if you want to sit or if you need to stand. And they had recreation in between each class. So they could get it out, get all crazy, come back, sit, try to put some learning in, and then what's the goal? I know, what's the goal, really? Why are we putting all these children into this pressure cooker to try to make them all come out the same shape, size, thing that they want to do? It's pretty silly, and it's probably heartbreaking for the ones that can't do it. Me.
I know you didn't ever read it, but is there any study of why we stopped having a recess after elementary school? Why don't we get like a 30-minute chill break?
Because they all
hook
up and everyone's hooking up and smoking cigarettes.
You can do. Trust me.
There was too many babies.
That
made.
Was happening
I
regardless.
Wrote a paper on that, actually. I wrote a paper on recess. It was for my specialist degree. That was like one of my final papers, and I turned it into my principal.
Oh. Yeah, so you're getting your master's degree while you're teaching, and then did the principal be like, "Thanks, Dale," and then not read it? Or
oh no, it was because he was taking the recess away from everybody, and I was trying to tell him that he's ridiculous and stop taking the recess away. Like, I mean, all I keep thinking is like, adults have the ability to like go to the bathroom when they want, right? To like go get something to eat when they're hungry, to take care of their needs. It's like your basic needs, right? But yet we're expecting people who have less self-control to do more than like what we do, right? Like they have to not only ask permission, but then they have to wait sometimes, right? Like I don't have to wait or ask permission to go pee. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm not suggesting that you don't have, you know, whatever procedures or rules in your classroom, but it's just like I think that we often are asking children to do things that we don't even ask of ourselves, and we have more self-control, mm-hmm. right? So that just seems counterintuitive.
Yeah. I completely understand what you're saying, right? Maybe that's why I get nervous when I go into a school. Like, I've got to tell everyone here I need to go to the bathroom. How embarrassing is that? Like, and then being in the hallway when you weren't supposed to. Oh my gosh, we're gonna get in trouble because you had to like go somewhere.
Sometimes you didn't have that pass.
My mom. Okay, don't tell Geneseo Central, but my mom just put her signature on a bunch of blank pages so I could be like. Had to go to the dentist because I was driving myself to the dentist and like,
I love it.
So I could have my little permission slips if I needed it. And luckily I wasn't selling drugs in the parking lot because mm-hmm. I can't do math like that.
We used to like at my high school.
What did you do? Dale was, weren't you kind of
a
naughty
so
kid?
Bad.
You were naughty.
Such a bad
it's always
kid.
The naughty people turn teachers.
I was such
teachers.
A bad kid. So, so at my high school, I went to two different ones. For my second high school, there was an attendance procedure. So if you were a teacher, you took the roll, right, and then you put the thing outside of your classroom, and then someone for the house would come pick up the – we had four houses. Your classes were
sounds
like
Hogwarts.
In these little houses. It was. Greenwich High School, so yes.
Oh, wow.
So they would come and pick up all the attendance, right? And then whoever was absent, it would go into a basket.
The naughty basket.
And a volunteer mother would call at the end of the day all of the parents whose names were in the basket.
Whoa.
But it was kind of right after school.
A volunteer tally.
But here's the thing. This was still in the 80s. Like, some moms worked, but not every mom still worked. I don't know. It was a weird thing. They called it a weird time during the day. So if your parents were working, they never got the call.
They never got. And there was, like, not everyone had an answering machine, right? Probably.
So all I had to do, first of all, was, like, tell my aunt ahead of time, oh, hey, like, I needed to use the bathroom and I was late to class. So, you know, they're going to call tonight.
Oh my gosh. God forbid you have your period. Right? Like, right. God forbid you have your period and you're in the bathroom crying because your cramps are so bad and you're just like freaking like, I can't go to class right now. It hurt. I'm doubled over. Okay, sorry.
So you could get on at anything essentially just by making up something and just telling your parents. But what we had the whole thing going is I would go over to my boyfriend's house and then when the mom called his house, I would pretend to be his mom.
Oh, role play.
And then get him out
Ferris
of class.
Ferris Bureau's Day Off style.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, my gosh.
Exactly right. And then so we
and then
just
you guys
learned
went
how to all do that.
You went and volunteered at the local shelter at the food bank. They're volunteering the entire time, giving back to the community. Definitely not doing anything nefarious.
No.
No, what did you do? Did you think fun?
Oh, I don't even know. Who knows? We probably went to the beach.
Oh, well, that's nice.
We lived right by
that
the beach.
That sounds wholesome.
Yeah, it was like just going to the beach was the big thing.
The big thing. Okay, I'm going to find out what kind of nerd you are real quick.
All right, do it.
And let's see here. Dale, a Star Wars, Star Trek.
Oh, Star Wars. But I do like a good Star Trek, too.
But have you watched all the new ones coming out? Like,
yeah, because of John...
Your husband
I
is into it?
I probably have watched every, but I get confused. I have to kind of, every time we watch a new
it's
Star
like, is it
Wars
the past
anything,
or is it,
I have to find out where it is.
In the timeline. Mm-hmm.
Like, what, is it between 5 and 6? Is it between 3 and 4? Because now there's all these like offshoots.
Mm-hmm. And, all the different stories.
Oh my gosh. But yes, Star Wars.
Okay. Have you ever been to Dragon Con?
Oh, yes.
Yes? Did you dress up?
That's what the Deanna necklace is for.
So, it's not Dale. It's Dragon Con.
So we would take Nicholas and because John has the condo that's right downtown and it's right next to Peachtree. So we would always park at the condo and then go in one of the parking garages on Peachtree and get a bird's eye view.
Okay, so of the parade.
Yes. So yeah. we would watch the Dragon Con parades go through that way. And then we never got tickets to actually go in. But I heard that when you went in and did, they had like all this crazy wrestling, like glow, like girls, ladies of wrestling. They have all that. By the way, we went to wrestling for the first time
the
other day.
You went to wrestling?
The first time ever. It's phenomenal. But
is it real or is it the fake kind?
It's fake.
It's a fake kind.
All of it's fake.
Is fake. Is amazing.
I mean, like boxing is real.
MMA is real.
Oh yeah,
MMA
like
and boxing
that.
Are like real fights, but wrestling.
All wrestling.
I will say,
fake.
Like, they're still fighting each other, and they're doing like choreographed fights. But I mean, it's the
they
same.
They practice it.
Yeah, but I mean, but it's just like they are still like you're getting hit, you're getting slammed down, but not like you know.
Well,
but,
if Cirque du Soleil makes one, I'll watch it.
You would probably like wrestling. They're
oh,
very
it's
dramatic.
Funny as hell. It's is it? Fun. It's is joke it? Kitschy.
You know what? I
oh,
think I would like
God.
It because it's camp. It's basically yes. like a little bit drag queeny. I would like it.
We'll yeah. bring you to the next time we go. A good friend of ours is like promoting.
Is it, wait, does it smell like armpits?
No.
Okay.
No.
I are there martinis might, available?
No.
Mm. You, I mean, it depends sorry. On the venue you go to.
But you could bring oh. your own.
You can bring your own martinis?
I mean, I'm sure you could.
Yeah, honestly.
B-Y-O-M?
Bring a to-go cup.
But yeah, I mean, wrestling, it's theater with like yes, choreographed fighting.
Exactly right.
You know, it sounds like musical theater.
Yeah.
Without, yeah.
They
all, I think I might like it.
There's rivalries. There's like ridiculous storylines. There's so much to it.
I went to school with Shane McMahon.
Oh, really?
Who's Shane McMahon?
Vince McMahon's son.
Yeah.
Who's
That's
Vince
crazy. Vince,
oh, Vince
McMahon.
WWF like. The whole
yeah.
like
wow.
CEO,
yeah,
that's crazy.
They were all football players, and they would talk
Smack?
About no, they would talk about the wrestlers.
Oh, like
I've
secrets
heard a
behind?
Lot about.
Do you have some secrets?
Andre the Giant.
Oh, was he giant all over?
That's what they were talking about
oh!
in art
that makes,
class.
That makes
that's
sense.
What they were talking about in art class.
In, well, were you guys drawing a nude
in
high school?
We weren't.
Sketching?
But my easel was like behind his and I could overhear like everything that
so
they
Andre
were
the Giant.
About, it was crazy.
Is it, his name is Apropos.
What the hell? He'd be like, all the girls go crazy because of Andre. Like,
oh my
okay,
gosh, that's a lot to handle.
That crazy
he was in a
movie,
right? The Princess Bride.
He was mm-hmm. in Princess
I
Bride.
I love that movie.
That's exactly right. He was.
That's
right.
Really cool. Okay, so you like wrestling?
I didn't know but I do.
Yes. But well, you know what? We're at the age now where we're trying everything new again. Your child goes to college, and you're like, "Well, let me see what I like now."
I know.
Have you ever had a coin collection?
No, but my dad did.
No, that doesn't count. Have you ever ridden a unicycle?
No.
Are you a hacky sack girl?
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
I hacked a good hack. I was
hacky
a hippie
sack.
In college,
yes,
so yeah,
hippie.
I played a lot of hacky sack.
Can you play a ukulele?
No. Can you believe it?
I can't.
I tried to learn during the pandemic, but
now
that I
have
the arthritis,
permaclaws.
I can't do it.
It's like permafrost, but permaclaws.
Yeah.
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 Sorry about your hands. We're all going to get old and die. It's fine. do you know how to do Morse code or done a ham radio?
I mean, no.
Do you have
I don't know it off the top of my
do
head.
Do you have a doomsday thing ready, like some water and gold?
Nope.
And a hacky sack collection?
Nope.
Okay.
I do not.
Have you ever gotten into Legos? Now's not the time with your hands like that.
Yeah, Legos are pretty cool. My dad, I think, wanted a boy when
oh,
I was little.
Oh, you did Legos with him.
And so I got a lot of
Legos. You're not doing them
Legos.
As an adult?
No, not anymore.
Okay.
I mean, I did with Nicholas, right, when he was little.
I know, because we're good parents.
Yeah.
Have you ever worn a costume for, like, more than one day, like goth or anything like that?
No.
Did you have, a wardrobe in high school? Were you, like, a preppy, or did you wear like your hippie outfit in high school?
In high school, I didn't.
How popped was your collar?
I know, right?
We need to know on your polo. Was it a double polo? Do you ever do the double polo, double pop?
Yeah.
Double polo, double pop!
I'm
having a flashback with a big yarn bracelet. And the yarn bracelet is so hard to get off, and
braid.
It would look terrible after a while and get brown and smelly.
Nasty. Yeah, because my dad was a sailmaker, so like anything New England, like we were the preppies of the preps.
Were you born inside of an LL Bean bag?
But what's also funny is where I grew up, so we had like the New England influence, super preppy, but also at the same time, we were like a half hour from like Jersey. So,
oh wow!
So there was like the big hair and like metal, like a lot of like heavy metal kind of music. People.
Yeah,
yeah.
Would they drive up in their Mustangs? Yeah, and you guys would show up in your BMWs.
That's yes.
And then have
I didn't have a BMW.
No, not a, and have a street fight.
It was funny. Yes.
Drag racing. Mm-hmm. Did you ever have you ever been a drag? I can't. Sometimes I have friends and I can't tell how old they are. You haven't ever been to a drag race?
I have not.
Not a professional.
What am I, Sandra
one.
D? Like,
I know. I don't know what rich. I know you, but you grew up in a wealthy suburban area, and I don't know what the kids did before they had Xboxes.
The high school kid I went to school with, whose dad owned the Porsche
dealership.
Let me help you with the important words. He died.
Oh gosh, I'm sorry.
In the Porsche.
Did he drive it too fast? Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. And the parents will never get over that because they feel guilty.
I don't know.
Oh, were they coked out, the parents?
I don't know. I mean, I hate to, I shouldn't, why would I, I shouldn't have said anything I just said.
It's okay.
I don't know. I mean, I'm guessing, of course, they were devastated.
But yes. Have you ever, was there ever a time where parents refused to take pictures of you because of your appearance? I think you've probably been adorable your whole life. You're so cute. Don't worry. Don't answer that.
No, but my dad used to make fun of me and my Birkenstocks and call them like Jesus sandals.
Yes. Okay. So were you popping a collar and wearing Birkenstocks?
No.
Or were you wearing a flannel? Have you gone to flannel?
At that point,
a baggy jean?
No.
Never
like,
baggy.
I was wearing probably cut off.
How much of your bottom was hanging out of your cut off? Sun's out, buns out. Let's go.
Not as much because like it probably wasn't jeans. I misspoke. It was probably more like camouflage pants.
Camouflage
pants? Like I would
pants.
Wear like camo pants, but they'd be cut
shorts.
Off.
Shorts. Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Like cut off.
Like the cargo ones?
Yeah. Or just a skirt that had all the bells on it. Right? It was like a bell skirt.
Bells on a skirt?
Like a hippie skirt, yeah.
I haven't seen bells on a skirt. The last time I saw bells, we were in Japan, and everyone had bells on themselves because they worried about bears.
Oh. Okay.
Hiking in the forest.
Okay.
It sounded like we were in St. Mark's Cathedral. That's how many bells
really?
Were going off around us. Yeah, they were really afraid of bears.
I have no idea. No, the hippie, yes, I'm sure you do. Right? Like, okay, so you've got like whatever, tie-dye or
Are the bells on a
skirt?
Are they on a scarf?
Could
be. Attached to the skirt?
No, like, okay, so I've got my skirt, right? And you know, like one of the hippie skirts, it maybe has like an elastic waist. There's a tie. At the end of the tie are bells. And they're similar to the bells that you'd remember, like the ankle bracelets that were all those bells?
Oh.
They're
oh.
like those kinds of bells.
Like they were
on
in
a
India.
Skirt. Yes.
Oh,
exactly
okay.
right. That's the bell skirt.
I remember like the little cotton ball on the back of the sock.
Those are cute, but that's not what I'm talking about.
I know. Okay. We digress. Okay. Do you have a tattoo?
I do.
I think I saw it. It's on your arm.
It is.
What is that?
It's a hamsa.
What's a hamsa? Is that part hamster, part manatee?
So it is, it's the evil eye.
Is it Indian or is it Greek?
So my understanding of it is that it is a symbol that represents women.
Okay.
But it predates like all of the women, like Mary, Rebecca, Fatima. Like it predates all of those like
those
religious,
big,
like Mary.
People?
Mary,
Sorry.
Mother of Jesus.
I didn't grow up with religion. It's been a problem for following literature.
So it's like before that.
Before women. Before anyone
that.
Was so like labeling the ladies and talking about their sex lives and how they didn't have sex. And then there was this guy and she got pregnant. But so it's that. Is it Celtic? Is it Druid? They were at the same time. That's it.
I don't think so.
No. Okay, I'm glad you know so much about your tattoo.
Well,
how old are you when you got it?
I got it when we were living at Dad's house because I wanted to get the hell out of Dad's house.
Okay, so you expressed it with
like
a tattoo.
Like because John. Okay, so the symbol.
This is her father-in-law. She was living with her father-in-law, and you had a small child, he's a hoarder, and it was a lot. Okay. So
we were there for years.
Yeah.
Because of this person who ruined our house. And then we couldn't get out of our house and into our new house because of this person. So
is this actually a vex on them?
No,
it, is that what it's called?
So what this does is it...
Hex. Thank you, darling.
No. So a evil eye protects you from other people's...
That's like a Greek thing.
Hexes or...
An evil eye. Or it's like blue, usually.
Like evil eyes in multiple cultures. For Greek, it is a protection symbol.
Okay.
Yes.
So maybe no more bad contractors? Is that a whole tattoo about a bad contractor?
Yes.
And you know what? A bad contractor can ruin your life.
That's exactly what that is.
Yeah. Yes. That's one way to do it. Okay. We're almost done here. Have you ever brewed your own mead?
My own what?
Mead.
I don't know what that is.
Perfect. Do you have a set of binoculars to look at birds near your window?
I do have binoculars, I take them to concerts because now I'm an old lady.
Oh, but you do go to concerts. You love music.
I do.
You love dancing.
I do.
Yeah, that's all like your hippie energy. Didn't you volunteer your time as a teacher and go to a reservation?
Well, I didn't volunteer. I mean, I taught on a reservation.
Was it like a Teach for America?
I taught on a Navajo reservation. Nope. I got my own job there.
That's really cool. Where was your Navajo experience?
It was really close to Four Corners. It was at Nananizad BIA school, which is a Bureau of Indian Affairs school. So that means I was an employee of the federal government, but specifically paid for through Bureau of Indian Affairs.
Okay. And then what was it like?
So, I mean, it's – okay. So, Amy, you know how like when I talk about – this nonprofit stuff, and you were like, holy shit, I had no idea. Like, that's crazy.
She just said S-H-I-T, everyone.
Sorry, am I not supposed to?
You are off the hook.
Am I not supposed to swear?
No, you can swear. I just have not used to it. Sorry. It's okay.
I swear all the time. It's like, what are you talking about? So what happens is that out on reservations – it is so rural. Like, people live so far apart from one another that in order for the children to come to the school, it would take them too long.
Like, they like wouldn't. 2 hour,
right. I mean, it's more like a 6 hour bus ride.
Oh, wow.
So, what happens is the BIA makes schools and they create them as a boarding school. And so all of the children on the reservation are bused to their boarding schools. They stay for the week then they're bused back home.
There's a history of America. I think in Canada, they made the indigenous children go to boarding schools where they didn't feed them enough and they were dying. And it's this whole expose. But this sounds like they're running it in the situation and correct. It's like a loving space. Well, hopefully.
Well, yeah, but except that you're away from your family all week.
You're away from your family.
Like, it's horrible.
It's horrible, mandated by the government that they have to go, or can they homeschool like all the crazy people here?
I mean, I guess.
Shout out all the people who I know who went homeschool. I love you.
I guess
they could homeschool if they wanted to.
I guess.
But maybe the kids want to go play with other kids. If they're really alone out in the Utah area by themselves and it's just their family, they might want to go hang out with some kids during the week.
Yeah, that could be. You're probably right.
So was it rewarding? Was it make you happy, make you sad?
It made me really sad.
It made you really sad to see
it. It was a weird place. And of course, it was also my first teaching job. So like it was not like a good.
You weren't going in with a bunch of extra
skills
in your toolbox.
Any skills, like any skills at all, none.
Oh, were the kids so cute?
None.
Though?
They were horrid to me.
Oh no.
It was sixth grade. I was teaching sixth grade.
That's even more armpit smell.
I had like it was bad.
Lots of puberty.
It was bad.
They could probably smell your newness as a teacher.
Yeah, maybe. It was really more political. It was just like going into a situation that I didn't know was a situation.
Oh, fair enough. Okay. Well, that was a happy ending. Uh-oh. Can you hear the blowers in the thing? The blowers are here.
Yeah, we're in Buckhead. We just let everyone
all
know.
All we do is listen to blowers, and my husband and I are going insane about it. All right. So do you like – this is a loaded question.
Okay.
You know this is yes. She built a nonprofit around this answer.
School supply shopping.
Do I like school supply shopping?
Or have you done enough of it
over
your tenure?
I have to tell you. when I didn't go to school this fall, it was really hard not to go.
She's literally bobbing, thinking about going to Staples right now.
I still went to like the dollar spot and Target,
all the markers.
And like I went through all the baskets,
touched all the
like,
papers.
They had all new colors that like they hadn't had before
new
in the
colors?
Baskets. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Target now. It used to be like for years and years and years, you only got all your stuff at the teacher store, and they only had primary colors. Right? You could get red, yellow, blue, green. That's it. Now,
do they have teal? Purple?
They do. And what Target will do is every year they have sort of a different theme of colors. So like sometimes it'll be pastels, sometimes it'll be neons, sometimes it'll be, but every year it's different. So you can like update your baskets every year.
That's
it's
fantastic.
Exciting. And then they have all the other stuff that matches back to it.
Okay, Dale, I think I know what kind of nerd you are. This is not going to be groundbreaking or super hilarious, but you're an education nerd. And I feel like all the hippie stuff inside of you has coalesced because that's like the, we got to do it the right way. You know, a hippie is like good with nature, doing it my own way, independent, buck the man. Is that what it is? And also, like, I'm going to recycle. You're an incredible recycler. Mm-hmm. Like, you're like, let's do it the right way. And let's help people. And you're a fighter for justice. You fight for your kids that in your classrooms that need help. Like, yeah. I love you. Yeah, you're an education nerd. I love you so much. I will put in the notes the where to donate to your nonprofit.
Thank you.
And usually this is the part where comedians talk about where they're going to be performing
Got
next.
It. Got it.
But she's not going to.
Well, I will be showing up at Georgia Tech tomorrow to go pick up all of the recycling pieces left over from the architecture department. There's a student recycling group, and they are now partnering with me and some of the STEAM schools in DeKalb County. And we're going to be delivering all the like balsa wood and chipboard from Georgia Tech over to.
Oh my gosh. That's amazing. See, every time I talk to Dale, I find out something amazing she's doing.
But I am a geek about it. Like, oh my God, I'm such a nerd. I can't take it.
It's fantastic. Shout out to all the people out there in the world trying to make it a better place, especially my best friend, Dale. I love you.
Aw.
Yeah. Thank you.